are made to experience glory, you know, and we're made to glorify. Now, just take that in. Now, we are made in the image of God. In case you're mixed up, that doesn't mean you are God. It means you're in the image of God. But what that does mean is we can relate to God. He's relational. We're relational. He has emotions. He has this place of compassion and love and justice and judgment, all the things. So we can say, I get that, so because we're made in the image of him. And so as we think about the different things within God, we have these things within us. We feel those things. And the thing about this, God has this place of glory, and we participate, and we have a desire for that as well. You know, it's a spot in which that we often take things that are our true desires and somehow say, well, those aren't spiritual, right? But then you look at Jesus' teaching. He's saying things like, hey, you want some treasure? You want some reward? You want to be first? You want to be great? Do you want to be justified? All the things that are down within us are there. But because of the distortion of sin, sometimes we don't really know how to operate in those things. And glory is one of those things that can get all distorted around. Now, whereas we talk about this place of Jesus and uncertain world, we're going to talk today about how Jesus is in this prayer he's talking about how he glorifies the Father. This is so important in this prayer that we're going to go through. And if you think about this conversation, kind of leading up to this conversation, if you can imagine with Jesus, now this is right before his death, and so he is saying the important things, and you're listening very closely, and all of a sudden he takes this turn, and he turns, and he looks up towards heaven, and starts praying, and like, whoa, what happened here? And he starts praying about these really specific things, and it's like you get to get in on this, and this is a prayer that the disciples heard and understood. This is the place that he actually was on his last, he knew his life was ending. And he was reflecting on his life, and he was thinking, what do I do about the people I'm leaving here? And this is what he's addressing, all right? So if you want to turn there, or you can just follow along on screen or on page. If you want to go to John 17, we're just going to go through these 10 verses, and we're going to break it down pretty quickly and talk about this thing of glory. Now take this in. Your disciple, this is for us, by the way. We see later, this is for us. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, there is come. Glorify your Son so that he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything that I have is a gift from you. I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you. And they believe that you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to me. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. There's a lot in there, but we're going to focus in on a few verses that I think capture what's happening here. It starts out in verse 1, and Jesus says this. He's speaking in this prayer, and he looks up to heaven. He says, glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. This is what Jesus does. He has the glory of God, and he gives it right back to him. That's what he does the whole time on earth. Glory comes, and he gives it right back. God uses him. His glory comes on. He gives it back. All right. And if you look at this, it's this place where the God is a source of all truth.
all holiness, all those things, right? And we actually get to share in those things. And we also get to share in glory that he's given us. And the only right response to God's glory is to give it back to him, right? And that's what Jesus is showing here. All glory is all around you. Because all glory, this place, it's beautiful, it's excellent, it's all these things. Now, God's glory is interesting. It's all around us. It's hard to describe God's glory. I've been studying this all week, and it's hard to get words into this. And so I want to try my best, before we go into kind of application of what Jesus is saying, I think it's real important that we get a hold of what he keeps talking about when we talk about this glory that Jesus is talking about, right? I think Isaiah actually gets it the best. In Isaiah, he has this vision of the Lord. He sees the Lord, and it undoes him. And what he sees is this lofty throne, and he's sitting on this big throne, and there's this train of his robe that fills the temple, and then this great visual image of these seraphim angels with these six wings, and two of them are hiding their feet and closing their eyes, and they're swirling around God on this throne, as wild as that is. It's him putting words to how glorious this thing is. And then he goes in and he says, they were all calling to each other. So these are like powerful angels, and they're actually calling to one another, and they're saying these things: holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Isn't that interesting? You would think it would be this: holy, 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 the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his holiness. No, because of his holiness, there's this glory that is around God. And what we see in Romans, this is, for everything comes from him and exists by his power, and his is the Almighty, Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. All right? For everything comes from him, let's read it again because I missed it, and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. All right? Now, if you go and just do a word search, what I may encourage you to do if you have some time this week, just do a word search on glory. See what comes up. I mean, we're talking, you got a lot of reading to do. It's all the way through the Old Testament, from creation. Now, think about this. You see it in the glory of creation, and what do you see? You see the Israelites. What do you have? You have this cloud of God, which is glorious. It actually even settles on. It has this weight. When Moses meets with God, he comes away with glory all over him, right? And we see this all the way through the scriptures. God's glory is mentioned all the times. And in fact, we see it in the creation, and Psalms always talks about it. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. And then we see it over and over throughout the Old Testament. Then the New Testament, when Jesus comes on the scene, look what it says. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, and the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then what we see is Jesus. Think about Jesus' birth. What, remember that Christmas story? You guys know this one? That when it comes to this place, the angels show up to announce his birth. And they're at awe. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to whom God is pleased. And the presence and the glory of God comes to announce Jesus' birth. Then we see his whole life glorifying God in all that he does. And now we're seeing his death, saying, glorify yourself through my death. And even in Jesus' return, it says, everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. It's everywhere. What we see in Scripture is God's people experience God's glory. They see it, they experience it, and they glorify him. This is what we see all the way through. And this is what Jesus is praying for the disciples as well. I mean, think about this. Remember the shepherds who were there? Guess what they did after they saw all this? They said, the shepherds went back to their flocks glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. Right? They experienced glory, they saw glory, and then they went back and proclaimed his glory and glorified him. Now, just a minute here. Let me try to give a better definition for God's glory specifically. God is glorious. He is the definition of glory. It all comes from him. He's the guy who says, "My name is I am." That's pretty glorious right there. He is has no beginning and has no end. Pretty glorious. He is full reality. What is all real is in him. There's nothing false. He is always primary, and everything else is secondary. He is someone who, in all he does, he displays his glory. In his creation, as beautiful as that is, it's only a reflection of who he is. He is 100% pure love, truth, beauty, and nothing else has higher value than God. Now, and that's why the angel said, "I can't take it in." It's too much. In Corinthians, Paul says, "Hey, the sun, the moon, it's different. And one star is different than the other. They all have different glory." And that's just the creation, right? In Psalms 8, it says, "Lord, how majestic is your name. It fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens." John Piper gave an illustration I thought was really helpful that described how much weight God's glory has. And he says, if you have a scale of weight, an amount, and you have God on one side of the scale, and you have the universe on the other side of the scale, and the universe is quite large, right? One time I was at 14,000 feet with no moon, looking up at the stars in Colorado, and it was glorious. I felt like hitting my face to the ground. Shooting stars everywhere of color, and it was just seeing out in the Milky Way. The Milky Way itself, if you think about this, the best guess they have, give or take a few billion, 200 billion galaxies in the Milky Way. How about in the universe? The universe so far, they're up to 2 trillion galaxies and counting. That's because we can't get any more telescopes anywhere. Pretty big. So you think about that universe, and you think about a scale, and you put that universe on this one side, and you put God on the other side, here's what happens. The universe is just air. That is God's glory. He's above the heavens. All right? This is who we have a relationship with. Now, you know, as we look at the text here, I'm just going to highlight a few verses and kind of give some application points. You know, he starts out in a place that, as we look through this, it says, as I talked about before, he goes on in verse 5. He says, "Now, Father, bring me into your glory that we shared before the world began." Okay? Bring me into your glory before the world began. In other words, this is where Jesus is from, this place of glory. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that from the very beginning, before time began, right? And so Jesus is saying, "I'm coming home. Welcome me back. I'm going to go back into glory." You know, we have to understand when Jesus was on this earth, he had stepped down from glory. He had actually, it says in Philippians 2, he did not grasp his divinity. He made himself by choice. He was still perfect. He was still Son of God, but he took it on a human form. There's a song, I think, that describes the glory of God and what he did, I think, so well. It's called "Name Above All Names" by Adam Russell. It says, "You took off your glory. You dressed up in frailty just to come near. You made yourself nothing, as low as a servant, you came near. You were obedient, living a life of loss. You were obedient even to death on a cross. Jesus, you have a name above all names. Let it rise to the highest place and let everyone sing. Now you're exalted. You're the highest in heaven." And what Jesus is saying here, when he's in verse 5, he's saying, this is where I'm going back to. In the resurrected state, he goes back and is with the Father. And then we see in verse 7, he also says this. He says, now they know everything I have is a gift from you. In other words, he's saying to the Father, the people you've sent me for, they've come and believed your message, and they understand now that everything that I've shown them is not from me, it's not from a human, it's from you. This is really important to understand, because he's also talking to us about how do we minister, what do we do? What is our life to be? Our lives are to be to a place in which that as we experience God's glory, you know, as we have that and we give away his glory, but we're basically making sure that we minister in love, that the result becomes, oh, this was from God. It had nothing to do with Bob or Sarah or David or whoever it is. That had nothing to do with that. That's a great way to think. And then he goes on to say, my prayer is not for the world. And we see later that he's praying, it says, he makes it very clear, he's praying for those of the disciples and all those who believe after. This is a prayer for us. He says, my prayer is not for war, it's for those you have given me because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me. Now here, listen to this. So they bring me glory. So this is your greatest purpose on earth. It's this, that your life will bring glory to God. And the way I put it is this, is that in everything we do for the glory of God. We are made, you and I are made, to experience glory, to reflect glory, and to proclaim God's glory. All right? And all we say and all that we do. And so, let's go through a few of those. Like, you and I are designed, made by God, to experience glory. And later on, in the same discussion, and you can look down in 17:22, Jesus says, the glory you have given me, Father, I have given to them. We see in Romans, it says, there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good. We get to experience this glory. I mean, just take this in. God allows us not just to experience his love and his holiness and all the different things. He allows us to actually share his glory with us. You know, in Psalms, a lot of times it says, open the gates of your heart to his glory. You know, it's this place of desiring, we're created to do this. We're created to enjoy, you know, and it's all around us. Right now, God's glory is all around us. God just needs to give us eyes to see his glory around us. And it's everywhere. You know, I was recently, my new thing on COVID is to kayak. I never did that before, but I've been on 3 kayak trips in the last few months. And I found this place that's just beautiful, never go during the weekends. But when no one's around, I go, and the last one was real recent, a couple weeks ago, and I went with my daughter, Emily, and we took Kalani, and we took Anya, and we've kind of, they were all kayak, we're all in kayaks. And Emily and I were kind of slowing down behind, and Kalani and Anya are up at front, and I'm looking out, and there's trout below me. It's the most beautiful scene. The sky was perfect, the weather was perfect. And I could feel God's glory. I could. And then I looked at Kalani with my beautiful daughter beside me. I looked at Kalani and Hanya, and I thought about them, and they were connecting to each other and laughing. And I'm telling you, it was a glorious moment. I could see God's glory. This place when you're reading the Bible, and all of a sudden something lights up, and you see who God is, and you know you're experiencing him. When you pray, or you're being prayed for and his presence come, you sense his glory. This place in which that, you know, you start experiencing those things. You know, it's all around us. I mean, in places that you wouldn't expect, I found, you know. The other day I'm at Starbucks. I didn't understand they had all these different options, like
take out, call ahead, drive through. So I just got into, I'm just a normal person, I go to Starbucks. So I'm in a long line of wait for a way too expensive drink, you know. So I'm sitting there in line, and the air conditioner's not quite working. And I can't sit down, and I have a mask on, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is a bad idea. So I'm going into the grump stage. You guys know the grump stage, like, why did I do this? You're critical, you're just trying to get through it. And I thought, I could pray, I guess. So, well, I guess this has to be better than being mad. So I started kind of praying, and as I watched this barista guy, I was just like fascinated. The guy, his brain and his body worked it like a unit. I mean, like, he never missed a spot, and he did it with such joy to the customer. It sounds silly, I know. But all of a sudden, I saw God's glory on how complex we are as human beings and how he's made us this way in all areas of physical, emotional brain. It's everywhere we look. And it's this place that we get to experience it. We get experience when he comes and meets us. The other thing he gets to do, but we're there to reflect his glory, right? In Corinthians, says, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That pretty well sums everything up, I think, right? Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We can glorify God. We can actually reflect God's glory by just our attitude, by the things that we do, the things that we say. In this way, since the Holy Spirit's within us and God's with, as we do that, he shares his glory and it comes out and people see him by what we do. It's in big choices, places no one sees it. It's at your work, it's at your family, it's with your neighbor, that stranger at the drive-thru, that person who's hurt you, that person who loves you, that person who hates you. All those places, the way we respond, we can reflect God's glory. And they turn to God. That's pretty cool. And, you know, in Romans 15, it says, accept others just as Christ accepted you so that God will be given glory. The way we relate brings God's glory. And then the other thing is we just get to proclaim his glory. You know, the thing is really clear. We don't create his glory. We don't make God look good. He is good. What we do, though, is we reveal it, we point it out, we magnify it, we don't create it. And so this place in our life is which we don't create it, you know, but when we know it, we begin, it's just automatic that we start proclaiming it. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Sing about the glory of his name, tell the world how glorious he is, may your glory shine over all the earth. You know? This place is, what we do is we point out, look at God, isn't he good? We see his glory and we express his glory. We proclaim it. When we worship, we say, God, you're glorious. We proclaim it, right? And all I just say is, you know, we're at a time in our country, in our world, it's on fire, man. It's crazy. People are hurting. People are mad. People are divided like crazy. And we as a church need to not be calling out evil and that and that and that. We need to be calling out the glory of God. We need to be glorifying God in what we do and how we look and how we interact. All right, this is our spot. And in that spot, we get to experience God's glory, even in places of pain and difficulty as well. So let's close with an invitation for you. Moving yourself towards Jesus, ask God to open your eyes and your heart to see and experience God's glory. Look for it, you know? And then as you look for it, respond to it. In other words, prayerfully, as you go through your life, say, God, I know what my life's about. I want to glorify you. How can I glorify you right now in this situation? Glorify Jesus. Show others the glorious God that you know by your attitude, your actions, your words. And you need him to help you see that. He has to have those eyes to do that, right? That's what we need.